Blog Talk Radio. This is Merle with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit, recently returning from Naples, Italy, the area known as Campania, or could be Campania. But then again, okay, I tried to learn that, language thing, Rosetta Stone. It was good for a while. I mean, it's very good in terms of learning it, but, you know, anything if you don't practice it. But fortunately, I didn't need to know my Italian while I was there, because there are enough people that spoke English. Thank goodness. Well, I'm not sure whether it was the rushing around on this press trip that I took, or the lack of garbage pickup in Naples, but I have a hell of a cold, but I'm still going to do my best. Now, the trip, this press trip had the various writers and media, and so my guests will be some of my companions that were with me in Campania. Tony Arpaia brought her film crew, her entire film crew down there. So I'm going to talk with her about her perspective, as well as some of the places she went to that I, being in group two, didn't go. Then we have Martine is going to talk to us. Martin. He's a food writer. Martin Limas Villa. He's from La Buena Onda, radio in Arizona. He'll be talking to us about food, and so will Kim Upton, who's a food writer with the Chicago Tribune. Not that there's, well, okay, there were other things aside from food, but it just felt like it. And we'll be talking about the food, and it was my favorite subject. Now, I happen to get, I still dream of gelato. So, and the question is, can you find gelato in the U.S. that compares to the one in Italy? Well, Michelle, owner of I Dream of Gelato in Provincetown, Massachusetts, will explain why hers may be like the best gelato you can find in the United States. It's a find of the century. First I have to take my first commercial break, and you probably know which one that'll be.
This program is brought to you by M&S Italian Food Specialists, the official caterers for the crew of Lydia's Family Table, which can be seen on PBS. M&S is located at 34-23 Francis Lewis Boulevard in Bayside, Queens. There, you'll find over 100 different types of cheeses, store-made sausages, fresh meats, as well as great salads and sandwiches. Choose fully cooked items from the deli area, or just tell Joe what you're interested in preparing. M&S carries a full line of imported groceries for all your cooking needs. Call them at 718-353-8318. A family business for over 50 years.
Okie doke. Yeah, well, by the way, I called M&S And it's still like, well, I mean, there's certain things you just can't get in the United States that you have there, but we'll discuss that later. By the way, and so, well, let's start off by go to Alitalia, who lost my luggage. That was going there, and see, the problem now with the luggage, you know, it's all the things that you can't carry on, or they have to be like, you know, as big as a thumbnail or whatever. And so what I tend to do is, so I don't have to bother with it, I put all that stuff in the bag that's going on the plane. Well, I'll continue with that. It looks like I have Tony on the air, don't I?
So I don't have to bother with it, but I put all that stuff in the bag
that's
going on the floor.
Hello? You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
No, it's Martin.
Is Mark in?
Martin, yes.
Oh, it's Martin.
Yes, I was trying to call you, but I can't, so, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah?
Hello?
Yeah. Weren't you going to...
I can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Yeah, no. Yes? A ver.
You can't hear me or you can?
Yeah, okay. No, I can't.
Oh, okay. Do you have the computer on at the same time?
No.
Oh. And, like, what's going on that you can't hear?
Okay. Wait. I'm hearing some noise, you know?
You're hearing noise in the background?
Yes, right.
That's very weird, because, like, I hear that, too.
Yeah? Yes, I am. So let me try to call you again, okay?
Okay. Huh. I hope we're not going to have this, problem all evening. That was kind of weird. Yeah, it sounded like that that this was repeating itself. Because I heard, it sounded like I was hearing some of the commercial on M&S. Oh, yeah, what do we say? Manishtana. Why is this night different from all other nights? Well, okay, he'll call back. Okay, so aside from losing... my luggage. Now, what did he call now? I thought I had him slated for a different time. That's quite interesting. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm trying to call you, but I can't. That's why I just got an email. Okie dokies. this will be a good evening. So, anyway, to get back to this. So what I was going to say is, it's a vicious circle because then what I didn't have is all my toiletries. And it's like, now what do you do, you know? And wound up, because I wasn't going to get them until much later, we wound up doing a little extra shopping around so that I can have the necessities just in case I didn't get it until the next day. But I did get it, I think I got it by the end of the evening. So, anyway, this another odd thing, though. The hotel we stayed at, and first hotel, actually it was two hotels that we stayed in, where, you know, you use the card key to get in. But not only do you use the card key to get in, once you get in, you have to slip it in another slot to put on the electricity. I've never seen that before. So here I was standing on the corner of Garbage and Garbage, went into an ATM and put in my card and got my money. And when I pulled it out, all the lights went out. Not really. Really, it didn't really happen. I was just joking a bit. Now are we going to have a session where no one's going to call in? Oh, I hope it's not going to be like this. I really don't. I'm not up for this. The whole idea was for me not to talk too much. So I'm going to... What I'm going to do right now is just a play. Oh, okay. Let's see.
And put in my card and got my money and I pulled it out all the way.
Martin.
Yes, hi.
Hi, so how is it now?
No, better. Much better than this.
Not much better?
Yes, much better.
Oh, okay.
I'm still listening to that noise, but a little, that's better, much better right now.
Okay. It sounds to me, that's very weird, it sounds to me as if the show is repeating itself.
This one, I have turned off the computer, so I don't know.
You have it on?
No.
Hmm. Okay, let's talk about food.
No, the thing, I am the radio station. I don't know if that could be a problem.
I'm sorry?
I am the radio right now in the radio station. I don't know if that thing could be a problem.
Oh, maybe.
Do you think maybe it could be, no? I don't know because I am the radio offices right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if there are some interference because of the... I don't know, because I'm here.
Hmm, okay.
Interesting, but...
I have you calling at... Wait a minute.
Okay.
You were supposed to be calling up... It's okay. I was having you calling at 5:45, but that's okay.
Yeah, I was trying to call you at 4:45, but I couldn't. That's why I sent you a mail then to say that I couldn't contact you, so.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I'm definitely going to be talking about food, and you can stay on. I'm waiting for, Tony to call in, because we want to talk about, what it's like from her perspective, like somebody who's filming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the...
Yeah.
But it's okay. Let's chat now. I also have Kim that's going to call in, and we're all going to be talking about the damn food.
Okay.
Did you? Yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, it wasn't a food tour, and but it was.
Yes.
You know? I mean,
yes.
It's like we did something and we ate, and we did something and we ate, and, you know, and we ate again and did something else and ate.
Right. I want to tell you, Marilyn, I tried the jam, the orange jam.
Oh, yeah.
You told me yesterday. Yes, it's very good. I think was with the red orange, made with the red oranges. And
yeah.
It's perfect, huh?
Oh, yeah. It has a much better taste
than
the regular one. Well, you know what I'm going to try? I'm going to go to California next week. So I'm going to check because they have blood oranges if it's in season. They have blood oranges there. So I'm going to see if they're, otherwise I won't have blood orange juice anywhere. Yeah. But anyway, we started out, I can't remember what we did first. All I seem to remember is that we walked around and then we went for pastries. That was the first.
Right, right. Was in the Cafe Gambrino. Do you remember we went there?
Yes,
Right, and we... Okay, I don't remember. They have a kind of buffet bar, a little thing with olives and many pastries.
Yeah.
And it was a very traditional antipasti thing, that the thing that they have. But I tried the other, I don't remember the name, Merle, the artisanal thing made, like a little bread stuffed with something else. with a, like a kind of, I don't know, it was a kind of like a cream or something like that, but it's like with a very spicy thing. No, not really spicy, a very, with a cinnamon or all that kind of stuff, you know. I don't remember the name, but I really like it. And we try in the Cafe Gambrinos. I don't know, did you remember that day?
Well, I had, well, actually, I thought that was so odd of what was on that little buffet.
All right.
Because it's like, why would you have olive when you have a pastry?
It was a totally different, the taste was like a harder, you know. I feel like a little salty than normal are, you know, but I really don't like it. I love the olives. The olives were so, they're very, very hard flavor for me, and a little salty too. And I remember what other thing I tried. I tried a little, like, a little pastries, but with a salad ones, you know. We was stuffed with ham or something else, you know. But I think was good. The flavor was very good, but I feel like it was a little dry. And the other thing I tried there was the... Oh, a lot of things, you know. The other thing that I tried was the...
Did you try that almond? That little, like, almond pastry?
Right, yes, yes.
That
was
good.
I really,
good.
I like it a lot, a lot. Is there a lot of many things, you know? But
yeah. One of the things I was, happy with was the sfiatelli.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's good. I really like that too thing. But what was your favorite, Merle?
Well, I think it probably was a sfiatelli, only because that's something, and that's a pastry that if I'm going to choose a pastry here, that's the one pastry I'll choose because it's not common. You know, it's difficult to make. And so that's what I'll have, except then I realized that the ones that are in the United States are made with baker's cheese inside. But they were making it with cannoli cream.
Right.
Inside.
Right.
And I think that made a difference.
The last day, the last day we went to a bakery, and we saw when they were doing that thing, you know, and how they prepare the paste. It's a very difficult. The owner was explaining to us, like, to make the pasta take a lot of time to make it, and that's why there are a lot of people that they are not doing anymore because it's very difficult, it's very hard to do it, and and you have to sell that a little expensive, so people, sometimes they couldn't afford it, you know, that's the thing. But it's a very good thing. I really like it a lot, and I think that was one of my favorites, I think.
Now, what was that, God forbid I should remember names, we went into that other shop, remember we were kind of getting, the driver was getting lost and then had to back up a couple of times on the hill. And then we went to this store, it was a specialty store. And we had these things that was, it was in a leaf and they were showing us, it was a leaf and there was a fig inside.
Ah, right. That was in close to Caserta. Was after the Mount Vesuvius, we went there.
Right.
It was a deli store, but it was an artisanal deli store. I don't remember the name. I had to see my pictures because I took a picture of the store.
Mm-hmm.
But that was good. But the thing I bought, the cookies, do you remember that kind of cookie with almonds and cherries?
Oh, yeah. I still have some. I still have some in my refrigerator.
Yeah, well,
I had to buy that.
Great. No, no, that's my favorite cookie. It's delicious, you know?
Uh-huh.
Wow. No. And I bought, too, the olive oil. Do you remember we went to the to Escola at the farm, Escola Farm? Escola is the family owner of that farm that we had lunch.
Right.
Do you remember? Yeah. In a farm, in that farm, that's a very ecological one, and then we went to the cellar. But I bought the olive oil there, and it's different. It's completely different than the olive oil that you can find in the United States.
Really?
Yes, really, because it has a different taste. I think it's like, I feel like kind of a fresh taste. You could feel more the olive, I don't know, you can feel more the taste of the olives in there.
Right.
You know, was in the first press olive oil, so was a very good one. I know, now I'm using for my salad, and definitely tastes different.
Yeah.
Yes, but it's a very good one. And the others, okay, that was the olive oil. And the other thing that I bought, too, was the Parmesan Reggiano cheese. Do you remember?
Oh,
in
yeah.
Place?
Yeah.
Was great. Really, really, really great.
Excellent. Oh, right. At least at the place that I was advertising, that's right. I know he's got that. That's the only thing he's got. I was asking him, like, some of the things. He said the only other thing that he really has is the imported tomatoes from Italy that's in a can.
Right,
but,
right.
But, you know, because like, it's difficult to get things like that in the United States.
Right. It's because importation and all that stuff, no?
Yeah. Do you think it makes a difference, like, for instance, like, okay, if you're in Italy and you're getting olive oil, you know, like, just as soon as it's made, let's say, and the same thing, like, if you're in California and you get olive oil from California, if you're there, you think it makes a difference of how long it's in the bottle?
The final thing that they have something, okay, I think could change. You know, I think if you have something in the bottle for more time, the flavor is going to change for a little. I don't know if it's going to be a big change, you know, but I think that for sure it's going to change something, no? I believe it. I think so.
Yeah.
Because
I found when I was in California and I tasted the olive oil there, I was surprised in the first place. You know, I didn't even realize that you can get olive oil in California. You know?
Right.
So that was interesting because it was like I was getting a bottle that was like fresh, so to speak,
mm-hmm,
and it had
mm-hmm.
a really good taste to it. So I guess anything that you're getting maybe that's local could be, you know, sometimes could be a little better. But anyway, to get back, so let's see. So we went the long and winding road. God.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. That's when we went to Positano and Amalfi.
Amalfi, right.
Yeah. So what did you think of Positano?
Positano is a very small town. I really love it. It's more for like a commercial thing, you know, because they have a restaurant with like a completely a tourist area. Okay, it's a little town. Town for tourists,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know, but I like it much. I prefer Amalfi thing. I really like him better, you know, than Positano. But the lunch we had in Positano was great too.
The lunch
in
Positano? Remember?
In Positano.
It's all one blur. Where did we have lunch in Positano? Oh, yes, 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 yes. That's a,
you remember, we did some of the pizza.
Was that the first time that we had pizza?
Right, right.
Right, that was the first time we had pizza, right. And then we realized.
Right, that was good.
And we realized what pizza was supposed to be. Right.
I think it was a kind of, it wasn't marinara and was one pizza for Nayo for half a special name because have a cheese. But was a melt cheese, you know, and the tomato sauce. But was a fornaio for something. The name was that name. But I remember. But was something for something, you know, like
yeah.
Because have cheese and the tomato sauce. But was a really good. The crust was perfect cooked, you know, and was a very very good thing to start the lunch there in Positano. I think that restaurant is good. maybe somebody could think that it's a beach restaurant, you know, close to the beach. Maybe the pizzas, to be a beach restaurant, the pizzas are really good, you know?
Right. I think, you know, we need to see if there's any pizza places in the United States that make that kind of pizza. I was wondering, you know?
I don't think so. We can find here.
Which, actually, I'm surprised because don't they seem easier to make? Or we're just so Americanized here that we expect to have a pizza with 25 ingredients on it.
Right.
You know?
And I think, yeah, right. You are right, Merlis. But the thing I don't think is so difficult. The thing is, like, I don't know if Americans, they are, you know, it's a very different taste, you know. I don't know if people is going to really like those tastes that they have there. They're completely different because since we were born here, we are eating the pizza with pepperoni and cheese, and you know,
right.
You are like you have the taste of those kind of pizzas. When you go to other place, you say, "Oh, this tastes different," because you know it's a different pizza. But you grew up eating the American kind of pizza, and
right.
This is the big difference, I think. You know.
Yeah. We'll do a search.
Right, the final.
Yeah, yeah. If anybody who listens to the show, if you know a place that makes real Italian pizza, that means the crust is soft and the
right.
pizza's not that huge. You know
right.
that you're eating. It's a personal. They're all personal pizzas. It's
right.
not like you get a slice. There's you know.
Right. And they eat with a fork and knife and everything, you know.
Yeah.
But do you like the last pizza we ate in Napoli? Do you remember the last pizzeria that we went in Napoli the last day when we
right.
went with Kelly and everybody there?
Right.
What do you think about that pizza?
Well, I thought it was a little. I was going to say the word glutinous.
Ah, yes, totally
that's,
agree.
That's what I thought. A little too, as if the crust still needed to cook a little more.
Right.
That, yeah. I mean, the one that we had in Positano, I liked the consistency better.
Right. That's the thing that we went and know that Trianon Pizzeria. Do you remember we were before with Amy? And the other two girls, we were in a Trianon Pizzeria, what was around the corner. I don't know if you remember. Oh, well, we went there. And the pizza there was much better than the other place that we went then. Because we tried pizza before go to that place. And was something like a big difference, you know. And we really tried mozzarella di buffalo pizza, margarita.
Right.
Flor di Mare pizza and provolone pizza and the marinara. But I did a very interesting thing because when we saw the menu, all the pizzas called margaritas. It's margarita,
right.
flor di
yeah.
lata. Margarita, flor di mare. Margarita, whatever. But all was margarita because I think it's the base of everything. It's being, margarita is tomato and cheese. That's, you know. That
yeah.
means that every is margarita, no?
Yeah, but that's what I understand. It's not. It's like there's no. It's not like there's a sauce.
Right.
Right. It's like yeah, tomatoes. It's they're using, you know, they're using fresh tomatoes. Or they
yeah,
use, definitely. You know, and it makes a difference. You know, it makes a difference in having the pizza. I'm gonna. I don't know. I might try to make that kind of pizza.
You try. Yes, we have to try to do it because it really tastes good and it's very. I think it's healthier than the pizzas that we ate here.
Okay, but what did you think of the Royal Palace? I know we didn't eat there.
I love it. It's a very nice place. The gardens, the palace have huge gardens and beautiful ones, but. I think it's like a little bit safe, you know? It's like a, it's a kind of, they try to do a palace like Versailles, and pues they almost do it, not something similar in size, but
right.
I really like it. It's, you know, the statues that they have, all the big saloons, the lamps,
right.
and everything. And I really like it. It was a very good experience to be there, you know. And you have a lot of story, you know, about the Bourbons and all the stuff, you know. But I think it was a very good experience. And then the Caserta town was a, is a little nice town, too. And, you know, and the food was good, too. Remember, we had lunch there. We had to walk to the restaurant from the palace.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember?
We
walked a lot that day.
Yes, we did. By the way, I have a surprise guest for you.
Ah, okay.
About food. I want you to stay on because she's calling in right now. Now, I had said to you about finding the best gelato in the United States. And she's on now, and she's going to talk about how gelato is really made. So I want you to hang on, and if you want to ask her questions, by all means. Michelle?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, Merle.
Hi. So tell us, this is I Dream of Gelato in Provincetown, Massachusetts. And I was telling Michelle that the gelato in Italy. I mean, like now I know why your gelato is so good because
well,
it's real. I mean, and I don't know that I can't find any other place in the United States.
It's hard to find good gelato in the States.
Tell us how you make it and why is it, so good? What makes it authentic?
Well, we make our own base from scratch. So we import all our raw ingredients from Italy.
Now, when you say the raw ingredients, like for instance, what are you importing?
Well, mm-hmm. for the base, we may import some stabilizers, and an emulsifier that we put in ingredients was here, and we make our own base. But other products that we import from Italy would include a lot of the flavorings that we use, like the traditional fruit paste, the classic flavors. Most of those come from a company called Fabri, based in Bologna, Italy. And in my opinion, they're the number one company from Italy, so we take their products and combine it with the base that we make to come up with an amazing gelato. And I think the difference, like gelato in the United States now, a lot of people don't make their own base. There's a lot of instant products coming about now that you can just kind of add a flavoring to this liquid and then freeze it, and out comes gelato. But I don't believe it gives the same quality of product, texture-wise, taste-wise. I believe it makes all the difference.
Now,
so
isn't there supposed to be like two ways to make a gelato, like a cold way or in a hot way or something?
Yeah, there's a hot process and a cold process, and we do the hot process, and that is where you make the base from scratch in its own special pasteurizing machine. And a cold process is the instant style where it maybe just comes out of a bag and you add some milk to it, and then that's how you get your base.
Oh, okay. So what is it that you, like, have to do when you, you know, the hot process? What is the process itself?
It's relatively simple. We use some milk, some non-fat skim milk powder, and our stabilizer, and then we combine it together in our pasteurizer. And what it does is it pretty much just recooks all the ingredients together. It brings it up to temperature really fast, up to 85 degrees Celsius, and then it brings it back down to 4 Celsius really quickly. And then you just let that age for a little while, and then it's ready to go. Then it's ready to be made into a flavor.
Hmm. Yeah, so, and so, like, how many flavors do you have right now?
This season we have, I believe, about almost 170 flavors.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had been kind of tired of making the same old flavors and just decided to experiment and was really able to come up with quite a new unique flavor list that a lot of people have really enjoyed trying the new flavors. I try and rotate them every day so people just have new things to try. This past January, I did go to the Italy Gelato Convention in Rimini and came back with all sorts of new ideas for the store, new flavors. Got to see everything that was available out there. So we have all sorts of new products in store for this season.
Now, do you have what do you think are, let's say, the most unusual flavors that you're doing?
The most unusual flavors. Well, a new flavor this year. I'm going to do an Italian Amarena cherry with a champagne to make an Amarena champagne sorbet.
Wow.
Let's see what else. Did a lot of different things with chocolates this year. Did some chocolate amaretto, chocolate with liqueurs, like chocolate and Kahlua, chocolate and Contro.
Now, are those flavors or are they actually liquor that you use?
Actual liquor. We use actual liquor.
Oh, goodness.
In there. So it gives a really nice, rich taste. It actually even makes the texture of the gelato creamier. So it's got a wonderful taste to it.
Now, the cherries that you said, what are they called?
They're Amarena cherries.
Yeah.
They're
the ones from Italy.
Style. Yes.
Yeah, I think, now, Martin, do you think that's the cherry that was in that that pastry we had with the almonds?
Yes, we have it, no? Yes, it's a cherry, right?
Do you think that was that kind of cherry that we had?
I think yes, because of the flavor. But the thing that she said, I think, could be the same. You know, the cherry that we ate in the cookies. If you try an ice cream or the ice cream cherry ice cream, have the same flavor. It's very very comparable. I try in Sorrento the other day. I ate an ice cream. And was a cherry one, and tastes very, very similar than the cherries that the cookie have.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that's probably it, because there's a distinct flavor in those cherries.
Yeah,
right.
I think they're real popular throughout Italy. Like that's definitely the cherry that you get there.
Right.
Kind of like a sour cherry.
Right. Yeah. What is the company again? I got to call them up because I think they
Fabri.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to find the old email. Because I was supposed to go to, they haven't, the place not far from my house.
Yes, I was down there for the first time this winter to their tech center, and they have all sorts of, equipment there. They're making all sorts of gelato and new products.
You mean you went to the one in
Mastiff?
You were the one in Mastiff?
Yes, I went down there. To go because I'd never been to their U.S. headquarters, so I got to go down there and see the whole setup.
I'm all of like 15 minutes away from there.
Yeah,
you could have visited me. Look at that.
Yeah, I didn't know.
You could have visited me and brought some gelato.
Yeah, I know.
Martin, do you have any questions for her? Anything you want to know about the?
The flavors that she said that she have a lot of flavors. I just remember in some place in Mexico, Dolores, they produce a lot of ice creams too, you know. But they have a very, very, like a chili ice cream, like a mole ice cream, all kind of traditional dishes of Mexico made in ice cream. So I was imagining when she was talking about, like, she have a lot of varieties of ice cream. I once remember that place in Mexico, you know, that they have two, but a very uncommon thing, you know, like a mole ice cream.
Mole ice cream must be pretty amazing.
Yes, I tried the mole ice cream. It's like you are eating a cold mole, you know, but they have it on poblano peppers ice cream. No, it's a huge variety that they have too there, but a very Mexican traditional dishes, you know, but what I was remembering about that thing, but it's good. I really like ice creams. It's one of my favorite things, I think, but sounds good, no?
Yeah, it's always nice to try new flavors.
Right.
Well, if you ever, Martin, if you ever manage to get up to a press trip and up in Provincetown, you'll have to try this.
No, finally, I had to try.
Yeah,
it's amazing because, like, you know, I have a little place near my house, and they make it, mm-hmm. Every couple of days. And I always thought that was, like, the best gelato. Mm. And they'd only make, a couple of flavors until I, went to Provincetown. And I said, this is what gelato is supposed to taste like.
You're very sweet, Merle. Yeah.
It's definitely better than Ciao Bella.
Yeah, well.
Ciao Bella's, forget it. Not even worth having it compared to yours.
Well.
But then again, what happens is I don't eat gelato now, unless I go up to Provincetown, because I don't want...
We get spoiled with all the good flavors, so it's, we're kind of picky ourselves when we go out for gelato.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Well, Michelle, thanks for... coming on there. Now, your website, is it idreamofgelato.com?
Yes, it is. idreamofgelato.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's got pictures of the Italy trip and the convention and all the stuff going on there and some pictures of our store, and all the crazy flavors are listed on there as well. And,
great.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
All the summer. Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, Merle.
Sure. And you came on just a perfect time while we were talking about food, too.
Yeah, that was great. All right.
Okay.
Take care.
I'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So.
That wasn't that cool?
Yes, it sounds good. The gelatos, I really
love
that thing.
It's like, again, why isn't, like, anybody doing pizza?
Right.
The way in Italy. I was asking one of the guys, and he said because we got used to the other stuff, and we think that's Italian. And that's what happens. But then that is with all the other food. Anyway, let's get back to the trip. Sorrento.
Okay. Sorrento, a beautiful town. I really love it. You know, it's a very mystical. I think it's like for honeymooners could be perfect place. I think the little streets, the little streets. You know, a lot of coffee shops, and a very very quiet town. You know, it's perfect not to relax, and the beach, and I really like it a lot.
What of the places we went to, which is of the places we went to, which did you like the most? And then I'll tell you which I liked of the towns we went to.
Places. It's hard to decide, very hard. I really like everything, but the place that we went in Sorrento.
No, I mean as far as which, that's the town that you like?
The where?
Of the towns. In other words, of Naples,
Positano. But
actually,
maybe Sorrento was my favorite. Napoli is an amazing city. I really like it. But Sorrento, I think, was my favorite, I think.
Sorrento, me too. I was going to say, what I found with Naples is, like, Naples kind of remind me of, like old New York in an Italian neighborhood, with everybody having the clothes hanging out to dry, and the houses being, like, near each other. It's that type of atmosphere. It's course, it's the garbage didn't help. But,
right.
You know.
Right. And Sorrento, they don't have that the garbage problem, you know. You see, you saw there, the streets were clean, you know.
Yeah.
And it was completely different. I think was my favorite. Okay, the other towns are beautiful too, but my favorite, they finally was Sorrento.
Yeah.
So Sorrento was great, you know, we worked together, you can eat a very good ice cream, a gelato, do you remember when you invited me once there when we
yes.
were to the gelato at that traditional store?
You know what was funny afterwards, like, you know, like after I paid for it, I realized
right.
what I thought was, I thought to myself afterwards because of the amount, now, what was the whole, it was like $7 for the two of them? Yes, it was like,
yes.
Yeah.
Right.
But then I thought to myself, wait a minute, I just spent $14 on gelato because of the euro.
Right, because of the euro. It's crazy for us. It's incredible. But now travel to Europe is very expensive. I feel like the dollar is too weak that everything is, what soda, whatever you want to buy, everything is a lot of money, you know? Everything.
Yeah. I mean, the prices didn't seem too bad when it came to euro, you know.
Right.
You know, but then when you realize, you know, oh wait, it's double the money.
Right, it's double. It's because when you are buying it, you are thinking American dollars. You say, okay, there are three, but you are thinking American dollars, and
right.
if there are 3 euros, it's expensive then.
Yeah.
So it's a funny thing, you know, but we really enjoy the gelatos there, you know. They are very good. And Sorrento, I was reading about the thing. Sorrento had the best gelatos in Italy. This where the place they were invented. I don't know if this is true, but somebody told me that in Sorrento is the place that the gelato was invented. I don't know if that
really?
Is true, but. Yes, so somebody told me, I don't remember who, but they say that thing because I told about that. Like, I really like gelatos there, and that person told me that they have a long tradition doing that thing. So that's why there are Georgios, there are delicious ice creams. And they have a lot of variety too, you know, like, wow. I tried the watermelon. You tried.
Oh, right,
it's like
yeah.
It's like you was really eating a watermelon,
yeah.
but,
yeah.
you know, that's very good.
Yeah, that was really good. One of the things I didn't appreciate about the trip was that 50-pound book that we took home.
Meter.
And the 75-pound press kit.
right.
You know,
right.
It's like, you know, somebody, you know, said, oh, great, you came back from Italy. What did you bring home? Well, you know, it's all I can fit was this book and the press kit, you know.
right. The book, but the press kit was huge. If that kit was the half of my suitcase, my carry-on suitcase was enormous, you know. Like, okay, but I put it, it was completely the half of my carry-on, eh?
Yeah.
The half of, this was big. But the book that the last day they gave to us was good. The pictures,
yeah.
you know, the materials. It's a very, very nice book about the Chambers of Commerce of Napoli. But very nice book.
The thing that I didn't would have liked to have seen in Naples, I didn't realize that they have like Broadway shows, like the touring shows.
I don't think so.
They did.
That's interesting.
They were showing. I was looking at posters, and there was a poster for Cats,
uh-huh.
and there was a poster for Mamma Mia.
Oh, well, sounds good.
But
because
for some
we
reason,
went to the opera. Do you remember?
We went to the opera, right.
And was a good thing, but the other, it results interesting because it's more like a cultural city, you know?
Yeah, that's why
nice.
I was surprised, but also I was, you know, like nobody ever mentioned it.
Right.
And, you know, and I would imagine that would be something people would want to, you know, to go to see, like, Mamma Mia in Italian.
Right, it could be interesting, no? Mamma Mia in Italian. Well, maybe they are in English. Could be the songs could be in English.
No, no,
or maybe
they
adapted.
Said, no, they said
know.
It's in Italian. They said it's in Italian.
Oh, perfect.
Which is funny. Well, because what it would be funny if I had it translated. When I open up my show, the radio show, I have the song "Dancing Queen" from Mamma Mia. It would be funny if I had it in Italian.
Yes. Yeah. You think it would be interesting to go to the theater where the play was and bought this from there, you know, to have all the Mamma Mia in Italian. It could be interesting, you know?
Oh, sure.
Sure. The final, yes.
All right. I want to take a sponsor break for a second, okay?
Okay.
Okay, hang on.
Italy, Spain, Greece, Turkey. Stuff it. We do at Santa Barbara Olive Company. Jalapenos, sun-dried tomatoes, almonds, blue cheese, stuff produced in California. And we stuff some of our cold-pressed olive oils with California garlic and herbs grown right here in our backyard. Our olive oils have been pitted against some of the finest imports, and guess who exceeds in taste tests? Santa Barbara Olive Company. It's the stuff that makes a product great.
Yeah, okay, now we're back.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Got
to give the sponsors.
Right.
And, of course, it's about food.
Right. That's good. That's a good thing about food. We can talk a lot of things, you know. That's the thing. I have problem with the weight, you know. I'm eating all this whole time. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we all have that problem. Then there was also, I was commenting that, like, of all, like, we didn't even, except for that one pork chop.
Uh-huh.
That was the only time we had meat.
Right. Was in Sorrento, no?
I don't remember.
Was in Sorrento? Was in the hotel? Was the last dinner we had there? The second dish was the pork chop. Do you remember?
Yes,
Was in Sorrento. Was in Sorrento, of course. Was a very good one. I really like it. Was the only time we ate beef. No, pork, you know.
Right.
But the first day that I tried the Amy steak, you know, that was really, really good. We were eating other fish, you know. Oh. But I tried the Amy's and was, wow, fabulous. I really like it, juicy, tender. No. It was amazing steak that she was eating. Okay, the food was really good during the trip. And I really loved the octopus, you know. Octopus was one of my favorites. But the octopus is the last night. Do you remember the restaurant in the hill where we went the last night there? The octopus were fabulous. I really ate almost all the dish, you know, but was really, really good.
Yeah, I never had so much. Actually, I usually only eat octopus. I mean, not that I don't like it. It's just not something. Or I find a lot of times when people are making octopus, it's not tender enough.
Right.
And I found that most of the time, I don't think there was any time that it was really chewy that we've had octopus. That was the one thing. And by the way, for those, For you people who are listening to the show or listen to the archive, what happened was that one of the people on the trip doesn't eat fish, and so she got to have a steak.
Right.
And Martine and I got to taste the steak, and you're like, we became carnivorous in our eyes.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And we were hoping at some point during the rest of the trip that we'd come across a steak, and it just and it just like just never happened. I mean,
never. Only the pork, you know, in Sorrento.
Yeah, I mean everything was good. Everything we had was good. I didn't, there was some things, you know, better than others, but everything was pretty, you know, good.
And really.
We also we had everything was a tasting. So we didn't get to order off a menu.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, oh, remember that place where the food just kept on coming out?
When?
That one, Mazzoli's?
I remember the appetizers. Do you remember? In Mazzoli, it's Mazzoli. It was an Italian restaurant. I remember the second night after the opera, we went there. And do you remember the zucchini blows, the zucchini flowers? The stuff
yes.
with ricotta and fry was great.
Oh, yeah, the zucchini flowers that were stuffed.
Zucchini.
Oh, that was, yes.
Do you remember that? Wow, that's like
amazing. That was so good. Oh,
totally.
Goodness.
I remember right now. And yes,
if you realize after I finish the show, I'm going to have to eat. I'm going to be talking myself into eating. Just because, you know,
no, me too.
Talking about all this is making me, not even, doesn't make me hungry. It's making me salivate, you know.
Me too.
You know,
me, no, me
but,
too.
But, you know, what can you do? So,
that thing happened when we are remembering the very good food, you know, very good wines, very good, everything was good. Really. The bread,
yeah.
You know. The olive oils, the mozzarella, do you know, the mozzarella we have.
Yeah.
Did you remember? The mozzarella di bufalo.
Yes.
So
I'm going to try. Cool. Now, somebody had said that I can get the imported bufalo mozzarella at Trader Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one, you know, just not far from my house. So I'm going to try that out and see if that is the same thing, you know, how
okay.
that tastes. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to compare it to the mozzarella that the guy in my neighborhood makes.
How you told me,
no?
Yeah, you told me that they made it like a artisanal way to make it.
Right, yeah.
Right.
So I'm going to kind of compare that. I think... It the only difference I think that'll be in terms of the taste might be maybe the slight bit of a flavor because it's from a buffalo, maybe?
Right. No, yes, this is a change in flavor for sure. The buffalo milk changed, and I don't know, but the flavor is completely different, eh? Just changed a little.
Yeah. But it also could be, now, it could also be what's used to curdle the milk. I mean, because the different people use, like, most people use something called rennet.
Right.
And now I've tried, I don't know, have you ever tried to take, like, sometimes I'll need some cheese or something, and I'll take a quart of whole milk, and I'll put it in a pot, and just as it's about to boil, I drop in some lemon juice. Squeezed from a lemon, and the water goes to the bottom, and the cheese comes to the top, and then I strain it really good, and then I eat that, and it's fresh cheese.
I never tried to do it, but the lemon give a little different flavor, eh?
Yeah, and I wind up like putting a little bit of, slightly bit of salt, maybe a little sugar, you know, but it's not. I have to experiment with the amount of lemon juice that's needed.
Right,
that's,
because
you
need this.
Yeah, and some people put, instead of lemon, I haven't tried it. They do vinegar.
Do you mean, yes, it is used vinegar, that's right.
Yeah, but I would imagine that maybe the vinegar might be a little more harsh than the lemon juice.
Do you think? I don't know. But maybe the lemon... lemon could be better, I think. No?
Yeah, well, that's why I'm going to, you know, try. But what I have to see is how much lemon juice I really need. I may be putting in, like, too much.
No, the thing is that, you know, we need to ask somebody, I'm going to check in my recipes that I have I know a person in Arizona who prepares cheese and all the stuff. Let me ask about the lemon. If we can use, how much lemon juice you can use for the meat, whatever. Let me ask her.
Sure.
Maybe she have a... The recipe to do it with lemon, for sure you have, because she prepared a lot of different kind of cheese, and she prepared the fresh cheese, and it's amazing, her fresh cheese. And I have to ask about that thing. It's interesting to know about the, you know,
I had heard about this. Actually, somebody, like people from India,
uh-huh.
They make fresh cheese every day. I was told they make fresh cheese every day. And I said, how do you make it? And this is basically what they told me. I said, okay, I'll try it. I went, oh, look at that.
But I think we need to know how much you
but
have it,
yeah,
to use.
Knowing how much you need is...
Right. See, if not, but it's harder. Maybe you can do a mess, you know? But the important thing, I think, is like a... to know the exact quantities and do it, you know? And
yeah.
We just try to experiment. Let me try, sometimes I try to do something, new things. Sometimes I try to experiment. So let me try to experiment with it. I'm going to do it, sure. And then I call you to tell you about my experience doing that kind of cheese. No?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Well, we got another one of our group calling in. I'm clicking on here. Okay. Who's there on the other end?
Hi, Merle. It's Kim Uppingham.
It's Kim. We're still going to talk about food. as if we didn't talk enough. I have Martine on.
Oh, hi, Martine.
Yeah, hi, Kim. How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. Here talking about food with Merle's and remembering many, many things that we have there, you know, in Napoli.
Yes.
What were your favorite things?
Well, I was on a hunt for the best buffalo mozzarella in the whole world, and
oh,
I think I found
right.
it actually.
Uh-huh. And, well, what of the places we went to, was there anyone in particular that you thought that, like, had the best?
Well, it depends upon how you want it. If you want it on pizza, it's one thing. If you want it fresh, it's another thing. I went to a couple of buffalo factories and ranches. And
oh, really?
I think, yeah. And, I mean, apparently, you know how in the United States everybody has their own chili recipe, and everybody's mother's or grandmother's chili is best. It doesn't matter, you know, or salsa. You know, you have, everybody has their family favorite. In
right.
Italy, everybody has their favorite producer of buffalo mozzarella. And, but I think just about everybody in Italy agrees that the best buffalo mozzarella comes from the Naples area. There are, and that's, for one thing, that's where the buffalo are. That's where the buffaloes roam.
Oh.
The area is marshy. And the buffalo likes it, and so they thrive there, and they've been there for centuries, making milk and having that milk being translated into a variety of guises. The two factories that I went to, one was just north of Naples, and it was called Factory Garofalo. And the good thing about Factory Garofalo for Americans is that they export. And
ah.
I can give you their website. I think it's in Italian, but I can give it to you, and maybe that would have a hint if you want it.
Oh, sure.
I want it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's www.factorygarofalo, and I'll spell it, and then .it. And Factory Garofalo is spelled FATTORIE. GAROFALO. And this is, both of these places are in the Campania region, which is the region that is Naples. And both of them make buffalo mozzarella. And depending upon who you talk to, either one of these is best. It depends upon the style you like. It depends upon, I think, where you grew up and what your grandmother cooked with, that sort of thing. But the thing about buffalo mozzarella also is that it is very best if it's very fresh. The other producer that I went to told me, the name of that producer is Vanulo, V V-A-N-N-U-L-O. And that producer told me that you must not eat buffalo mozzarella that's younger than 24 hours, but you must eat it before it's 48 hours. So that tells you something. And what it tells you is that you really need to go to Italy to find wonderful buffalo mozzarella, although you can buy it in the United States. And I've purchased it in the United States, and it's good, but it's not the same thing at all. It's kind of like wine. You know, wherever the vines are sitting, the sunlight, the ocean breeze, you know, the soil itself, that contributes to how the wine tastes. The same is true of buffalo mozzarella. What the buffalo eat, the kind of weather they have, the lives they live, that all contributes to what the buffalo mozzarella tastes like. And I can tell you, at Vanulo is the only organic buffalo ranch in all of Italy. It's getting to be sort of famous. It became organic. Yeah, it's quite interesting, actually. It became organic when the kids were in charge, took over. The ranch itself dates back to 1907, and it was run pretty much like any buffalo milk-producing ranch, and they also had vegetables on the side for a very long time. And then in 1988, at that point it would have been the grandchildren took over, and they said, let's do something modern with it. And so they started, segue into organic feed for the buffalo and treating them kindly. They don't use any pesticides on anything. They eat only naturally grown organic grains that are grown nearby. The buffalo sleep on mats. They're like yoga mats. And they have showers twice a day because, of course, you know, if you're not using pesticides, then the contamination becomes more of an issue. So showers twice a day. They have massage machines. I watched the buffalo walk over to the massage machines, which look sort of like little car washes. And then the brushes come down and massage them, and they stand there. And the buffalo don't exactly smile, but they look very pleased when this thing goes on. It's pretty funny. And this at Vanulo, they also do buffalo milk ice cream, which of course is called gelato in Italy. They have buffalo milk butter, which is to die for.
Did they have gelato there?
Yes, they did. They had wonderful gelato. they have a variety of flavors. My personal flavor was chocolate, but that's, you could kind of have guessed that if you know me before even hearing that I tasted it.
Let me ask you a question. When you had the gelato there, had you tasted the gelato, let's say, in Sorrento or any other place?
Yes, I've had gelato all over Italy.
Okay,
This is the first time, though, I have to say, that I've had buffalo milk gelato. And the thing about buffalo milk is that regular milk is, at least in Italy, whole milk, runs about 3.6, 3.8% butterfat. Buffalo milk runs 9 or 10% butterfat. So already you're in dangerous territory for your arteries, doing very well for your heart, your soul, I should say, because it is really rich. It is incredibly rich, and boy, is it good.
Wow. Now, let me ask you
a lot times three.
Let me ask you a question. Did you get to watch them make the mozzarella?
I did, yes.
Now,
What
did they use to curdle the milk?
I watched at both factories, and there they use, it's a natural, you know, I wrote it down, I'm forgetting what it's called. It's a rennet, but it's a natural rennet that comes from fermentation. It's nothing, there are no chemicals added. It's just natural, natural from the buffalo themselves. And at Factory Garofalo, they do the one that exports, they make it two ways. They make pasteurized buffalo mozzarella. That's for export because you can't import that into the United States. And I'm assuming the EU countries would be the same. But they also make the natural buffalo mozzarella there. But their buffalo mozzarella is made by machines. You see the machines, it comes through by machine, you know, big long conveyor belts and stuff, and it's stamped out in various sizes. At Venulo, it's made by hand, and there are some guys in the back, and they're just making, they're chatting, and they're making the stuff by hand. But they're fast, you know, they go through. It's like if you've been in a factory where, you know, some handwork is done by little old ladies who have just been doing this for a million years and they're spectacular at it. These guys are like that, too. They're craftsmen with their hands. So it takes them 42 seconds to make, you know, a bunch of it. They're real fast.
Wow.
But, you know, they're not uniform. It's very charming. And they sell, when they sell it, the only way you can get Venulo buffalo mozzarella is to buy it there. They don't sell it anyplace else. They start making the stuff, the mozzarella, at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they open their store at 9 o'clock in the morning. I got there at 9 o'clock in the morning, and the parking lot was packed, and there were coming in from the street. We weren't exactly off a highway. We're kind of in the middle of the countryside, near Sorrento, actually. But there was a big crowd, and they were spilling out of the store. Everybody had numbers. And I went in and was photographing from the other side because I wanted to see the people buying the mozzarella. And, boy, was I getting dirty looks because I was holding up the line. You know, I was like, just hold it there. Hold up the bottle. Hold up the bag of mozzarella. But they want their mozzarella, and I was in the way. But they sell it. They put it into big vats, and the girls who were selling in the front come out and, you know, with ladles, and they get the mozzarella and they put it into bags along with the water. That's how it's sold, with the mozzarella water. And then the people take it home, and you don't fresh mozzarella, as I told you, you don't eat immediately because this is fresh. You know, it's only, you know, a couple hours old. You need to let it sit for 24 hours for the flavors to develop. I tasted it 24 hour old, and I also tasted it fresh. And it is better 24 hours old, but it still tastes really good fresh. You know, I had it right after it had been made out of the, you know, we just plucked some out of the water, or it was plucked for us by someone wearing rubber gloves. Thank you. Very clean. There is a difference in flavor, but, boy, is it good. It's so when you take it home, you're not supposed to refrigerate it. You eat it within 24 hours, but you let it sit out on the counter in the water, put it in a bowl with the water from the bag, and you cover the top, and you let it sit out, and it cures on its own, in a cool room, of course, not in a hot room.
Right.
And you eat it the next day. As soon as it's old, which is 24 hours by their standards, you put it into the refrigerator, and that's called old mozzarella. Well, I'm laughing when I say this because that's really pretty, still pretty new. But that's the stuff you cook with.
Right.
You eat the brand new mozzarella fresh with tomatoes or basil or nothing. You never put vinegar on it. I asked them about you know, condiments and stuff. They said never, ever, ever. You just
never?
Maybe a little salt, but it's pretty salty as it is. But as the mozzarella gets older, as in 24 hours older, then you can start adornments. And by American standards, I think we're starting out in adornment stage right away. We can do things to it if we want to. But they said the fresh mozzarella you just never treat. You just eat.
Wow. You know, I got to tell you, it was very funny when I would get the mozzarella here near my neighborhood. When I first got it, like, that was the first time I had really, really fresh mozzarella, you know, and I would take it home, I'd slice it, and it was really great. And for some reason, I said to him one time, like, can I cook with this? And it's, I have this picture of fresh mozzarella being completely different from that stuff you get in the plastic, you know what I mean?
It's not the same at all,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, and so I thought, like, one is raw and one is, you know, and one is cooked or something. But, you know, he just gave me a look one day. He said, no, you can cook with this. Because I thought, like, what a shame. It's a shame to cook with fresh mozzarella.
Right. Well, that's why, you know, that famous pizza, the famous Nepalese pizza, Pizza Doc, D-O-C. That's the word. Yeah,
you know?
That's with buffalo mozzarella, but there's no, there's practically nothing on it. It's just, you know, that wonderful crust that comes out of the oven, 700-degree oven, and then they put some slices of Pizza Doc with a little drizzle of olive oil and fresh basil and maybe a few chopped tomatoes, and that's it. You know, they wouldn't think of putting anything else on there because this is buffalo mozzarella, and buffalo mozzarella is sacred.
Oh, yes. Yeah. When I finish my show tonight, we're all going out for pizza.
Oh, sounds great. That's great. Too bad we're not in Naples anymore.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I was commenting that I don't understand. I mean, the pizza seems so simple to make in Italy, that, you know, why they don't do it here. You know,
well, you need that 700-degree oven. I don't have one. Do you?
Oh, is that what? No, I mean that in any of the restaurants.
Well, yeah, they have it too. I mean, the pizza ovens are those wood-fired pizza ovens get up to, you know, these incredibly high temperatures, and so I mean, first you have to have the right flour, then you have to have the right water, and then you have to have, you know, the right starter, and then you have to have the right oven, and that's why I was talking to somebody, you know, about the current hottie among the pizza places is something called Pizzeria Michele, Da Michele, which I think you guys went to, didn't you? I didn't go, but it's from a book called Eat, Pray, Love by Elizabeth Gilbert. Have you read that book by any chance?
We were talking about that at the press trip. I don't remember who brought that up, but I remember that, yeah.
Well, it's a great book. I mean, the first part of it is all about going to Italy and eating. And so, you know, she really pays careful attention to that. And a friend of hers, she lives in Rome, and a friend of hers in Rome tells her that he's from Naples. And he says the best pizza in all of Italy is in Naples. And so she has to go down to Naples and taste this stuff. So she does. And he tells her that the best restaurant in Naples for pizza is the Pizzeria Michele. So she goes there. Well, actually, it's Pizzeria Da Michele, I think. So she goes there, and she says it is, in fact, the best pizzeria in the world. But there were I met a couple of people from Naples, and they were saying, oh, it's been there for a long time, and it is a good pizzeria, but it's so mobbed by people now since that book came out that, you know, maybe it's not doing its best anymore, and that Trianon is actually better, and then there's another place, a place that we actually had dinner called Pizzeria L'Europa, Dimitozzi. I'm sorry, I'm butchering this pronunciation. For anyone who speaks Italian, I apologize.
Oh, okay.
But,
he's perfect.
They all, oh, dear. But they all do sort of the same thing. I mean, it's, you know, this great crust and, you know, with few adornments. They only sell, most of them only sell one or two kinds, maybe a little bit of eggplant on one of them. But it's basically three choices. You got your buffalo mozzarella pizza, or you got your regular pizza, your margherita pizza, which is not buffalo mozzarella, that's cow's milk mozzarella, and tomato sauce and basil for the Italian flag, named after Margherita, Princess Margherita. And then the other kind, there are a few other kinds, like, you know, some grilled eggplant and a couple other things like that. But that's about it. That's all they put on there. Because part of the celebration is that the crust is just fabulous, and so you don't really want to distract too much from that.
Right. Now, one of the other things I wanted to bring up that we haven't actually spoken about is the limoncello.
Ah, limoncello.
Yes. Now, what was the name of the place that we went to?
I do know, actually. Hang on a second. It was called, well, I went to a place, the place where we sat and drank limoncello in a lemon grove.
Yes.
Right.
Did we go to the same place?
Yeah.
It's Giardini di Cataldo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I have it written down in my notebook here.
Okay.
I'll spell it GIARDINI DCATALDO. And that was another one of the places, I think there must be a trend in this direction, but that was another one of the places that's, you know, where they hand make everything. It's kind of like, you know, boutique wineries in California. They hand make their limoncello, and the family does it together, and they sell it together, and they don't make too much, but, you know, and you can taste it out in the grove there, and you taste it, and nobody pressures you to buy anything. It's just charming.
Yeah, and I think the difference is what are the lemons called? They because they're not the common lemons.
Well, there were several different kinds of lemons. What were they? You know, I'm forgetting what they call that one. I could look it up. It's in my notes somewhere here.
But they're not.
While I look, they don't grow any place else. They only grow
right,
in that place.
Right. Basically, it's the lemon. The lemon peels are being
yes.
put in an alcohol.
Yes.
So, you know, and that's where the base is of the limoncello. And I think that and there's sugar and what else? I forgot. I remember him doing that, talking about that.
I think that's all the limoncello.
Yeah. Yeah, and he had different flavors too. They were doing it with orange peels.
Mandarin oil.
Mandarin oranges, regular oranges, and then
licorice?
there was some other flavors. There was the
he had a fennel.
The fennel, right? And then he gave us what was supposed to be real licorice. Those little things of licorice. He said that's what the real licorice tastes like.
Yes.
Yeah, that was interesting too. But yeah, and the thing is, it's like. Now, when I went back, I was going to take the plane. I was looking in the store there. You know when you buy liquor. You know before you get on the plane.
Oh yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
free shop.
Yeah. And the thing is, I saw all this limoncello, but I couldn't remember which one it was.
Well, he may not. Oh, you know, he's just a little place. He may not export much. I mean, maybe he does, but at least we have the name. So if you see it anyplace,
right?
Then goodbye.
Yeah. I wish I would have bought some there. You know, just to have a little. And he's also the one. He also had the gelato place too.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that lemon gelato was to die for, wasn't it?
Wasn't that really good?
Yeah.
And wasn't that cute rabbit?
Oh yeah, they had a little bunny running around in their gardens there.
Yeah, the rabbit in the harness, the rabbit in the harness. What's that?
Sorrento. I also like that I don't know how you say it in Italian, the patisserie, the pastry shop. I'm reading my notes. O Funzionista, which you would really have to look hard to find, but I would highly recommend that place to anybody going to Sorrento.
Which one was that?
Main Street. It was a tiny little pastry shop. It's in the tourist area, but called O Funzionista. O Funzionista.
Right, it was very close from the hotel.
Yes, yes, exactly.
It's very close.
Right.
It's on Via San Nicola.
Okay. That was the one they were making something in the kitchen they showed us? Is that the one?
Yes,
we didn't really...
He's an award-winning pastry chef. I guess he's pretty famous. Those tiny little cookies we were eating were just delicious.
Right.
They don't put margarine there, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Completely delicious.
Yeah, that we only had a little tasting. That was only a little bit. That's when we were feeling a little weak and we needed something
full.
To eat.
Yeah, we were too full.
Yeah. yeah, that was definitely some trip and some food experience for this whole thing.
It was.
I must say. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go off to California, and I was telling Martine that hopefully I'm going to get some blood oranges there.
Oh, wonderful.
So I can have some juice.
Yeah.
Oh.
I need blood orange trees. but they only bloom every other year. So you can really, so we only get to celebrate once every other year. But boy, are they good when they come out.
You mean in California or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is this the year?
Well, not for her. Oh, yes, it was the year, but it's she's already bloomed. So we ate those last winter. So they're gone now for 2 years.
Oh, so I'm not going to be able to get it.
I don't know. Maybe they run on their own cycles, but I know that they don't. They only yield every other year. So maybe you have to find someone who has one that's going strong this year.
All right, I'll find out when I get. We're going on a culinary tour.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Oh, food. Look at that. Food. San Mateo.
Yeah.
Ah.
San Mateo
great.
County. Yeah, food. Huh? Isn't that surprising?
Something a little different.
Yeah. Haven't done that in a while. Oh, goodness gracious. So, all right. Anyway, guys, I'm going to end the show in a little while, and I got to take a commercial break and all that other bull crap or something. But I also, I wanted to tell you, and I don't, just to tell you guys, like no one's going to listen to this. I found out about this bus called Megabus. Go to megabus.com. And I don't know where they're going all over the place, but it's like it would cost me $1 to get from here to Atlantic City.
Oh, they have those from Los Angeles to Las Vegas. But the prices vary, but it can be as little as a couple dollars.
As a dollar, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, because I thought I just heard about it on TV today, so
I know a couple people who have done it from here to Las Vegas, and it's perfectly easy.
Yeah.
I mean, you're sitting on a bus for 6 hours, but for a dollar, my gosh, you know.
Right.
It costs more than that just to turn the car on these days.
Yes. So, all right, I want to thank you guys for coming
you.
On the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun reminiscing. Oh, yes. I'm going to eat. And
me too. Bon appetit. Or bon,
yes.
Appetit.
Bon appetit, Kim.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Okay. Ciao.
Okay, ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao. Ciao.
Oh, yes. I'm going to eat, is for sure. Now, let's see. Well, I have a few minutes left here. Who's a sponsor? Oh, of course.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
And you can get that at brownies.com. Now, also, one more sponsor, of course.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No. That is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
I have to stop this because it's time to end the show. I'm sorry. Tune in next week, guys. When I'll be in San Mateo County, I'll be doing the show right from there. I'm talking about food, I guess. Everybody have a great day evening. I don't know where Mallory is, but
wow.
Mallory, come in here. Say hello to everyone. Say goodbye to everyone.
I know you're the host of the show. I understand.